going to get Brexit done, yeah.
Easier said than done, Prime Minister.
We're going to go for a no-deal Brexit. That's a Brexit with no clothes on. And I can promise you it will be a busty Brexit of the type a hot-blooded chap might leave their wife and girlfriend for.
Now, Mr. Cummings says he's found a 700-year-old law that says if you punch a royal swan, then the Queen has to let you prorogue Parliament.
Ah, tell Dom to let it go. I'm in a right piff timble of trouble.
Yes.
But I've been lucky. If it wasn't for that footballer's wives tumble amongst the branches, the people might have to focus on things that actually matter.
Indeed, Colleen Rooney is quite the Wagnum PI.
Has she got a moustache?
No.
But I thought she was quite the stirrer of the mizzen mast. Wouldn't mind getting her around to give me some IT lessons.
Oh, not after Miss Curie, sir.
But of course, she is a Rooney,
yes,
which has a hum of Paddy off it. And that, my friend, is like a starboard typhoon to the aforementioned mizzen mast.
So, if you need a distraction, why don't you invite your Irish counterpart for talks? He's very keen to get out of his own mess and stand beside a flag with mahogany behind it.
Great walloping gum thistles. That's a superb idea, my man.
Yes.
Let's do it in one of those common man cities where they loathe me.
You'd have to narrow it down, sir. Liverpool?
We'll maybe find something with a shire at the end of it.
Right.
Near Liverpool.
I'll find a country manor in Cheshire, sir.
Yeah, and don't forget to vet out the furniture.
Yes, we don't want a repeat of that incident when you were between mistresses and were so frustrated you copulated with the Harris Tweed footstool.
Yeah, but those buttonholes are golly well deep. It is great to see you again, Murphy.
It's great to be back on the government jet. You can't see the housing crisis from 35,000 feet.
Yeah. You're not quite the connoisseur of the old banter, eh?
Oh, well, look, we have to look like we're doing something. What about an extension?
Another 3 months extension won't solve anything.
How about 5 years? Fianna Fáil won't do anything as long as Brexit is around, no matter how badly we run the country.
No, out means out. Get it done. Like I still do to that accrury woman. Oh!
What about the North?
Oh, you can have it. We don't like it anymore. Read it in the Telegraph, where I go to find out what my opinions are.
Sorry?
It costs Britain more than the EU. It's errors now. You can have that Arlene chap and his team of gabba flabbers as well.
We don't want that basket case. That would be like offering you Cork. Do you want Cork? As long as there's a border to keep Coveney and Micheál Martin out, I'm cool with it.
Golly gundergumps. Looks like I'm a stuck old boy.
And it's getting close to when I stop working. 2:30.
Look.
Lol.
We can't keep going with all this aggro. You guys are leaking all our terrible ideas before we've even got a day's distraction out of pretending that we have any.
It's not us who's leaking it. It's Rebecca Vardy.
Let's just be honest for once.
Okay.
I don't care about Brexit.
And I don't care about the North.
I just want to have a surprise election. Snap. Ha!
Wow.
So, why don't we cobble together some paddy wagon, clap-trap, wag-wag, gob-gob, and put this whole thing off for another week?
While we come off looking like actual leaders rather than two guys in office but without any power. Sounds amazeballs to me.
Yes!
I think I love you, Boris.
Well, I love you too, Murphy.
See you in the tunnel next week.
Ooh, I hope it's dark enough for some quality groping. Rawr, rawr, quavers.
Thank you very much. I am pumped and ready to rumble.
Minister, can you give us a preview of the budget?
I've done just enough to make it seem like my massive team of advisors and I have been working tirelessly, but little enough that no one will really notice it actually happens.
Are you admitting that your budget is just a big bunch of nothing?
Now, let me finish. Just like Ba Ba Black Sheep, I'll have something for the master, something for my dame, and something for the little boy who lives down the lane.
Oh, she's doggedly lovely.
And now for the photos of my dimples. Vogue, 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 Vogue. I'm finally, Count Carla, with this budget, I'm proud to say, instead of enacting useful policies all year, I've chosen to package lots of tiny, unhelpful measures into one day, and I'll blame it all on Brexit.
This budget does nothing for no one!
Consider the old adage, 1/2 pound of tuppenny rice, 1/2 pound of treacle. That's the way the money goes, pop goes the weasel.
Welcome back. Pascal Donoghue is still with us. The time now is...
It's time to be cautious, Brian. I mean, hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up...
Password with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Minister, this budget is just a great fudge. An excuse for you.
You know what goes
absolutely...
really well with fudge, Matt, is a cup of tea. And when you consider that I'm a little teapot, short and stout, here's my...
Oh, yes. Nothing like a bit of Ennio to get the old furnace burning. Minister, do you know who joins us on Lyric this morning?
I'm also a fan of Ennio Morricone.
Would it be said that your policies are ruining more lives than scratch card addictions?
Tune in for Winning Streak on Saturday, my friend.
Well, Marty, Brexit is looming. We have to be prudent with what's going on in the UK because London Bride is falling down, falling
Live
down.
From Virgin down. Media Television, Minister, your cuteness has no effect on me.
Well,
you claim you're being prudent even though you're planning on spending billions on Project 2040 promises, so will you just be honest for once?
Well, let me explain it to you.
Yes.
Through song.
What?
Through a song.
Okay. A song, would you believe? Well, let's have a song now to mark Budget Day. It's Pascal of Penzance. Let's hear it, Minister. Yeah.
I am the very model of a modern Irish minister, with information complicated, meaningless and sinister. I know to blame the British, how this fight is so historical. I've very little money in on that, I'm categorical.
With many cheerful tax breaks for a lot of multinationals. With many cheerful tax breaks for a lot of multinationals. With many cheerful tax breaks for a lot of bloody multinationals.
Thank you very much.
I'm very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. With elections looming large, I do avoid the problematical. With a mostly nothing budget day and fudging countless interviews, I pray to come tomorrow that there'll be some other news.
With very little money, and on that he's categorical, he is the very model of a modern Irish minister.
Thank you. I've only a certain amount of octaves.
Pascal of Penzance, thank you.
Dublin City Council is delighted to invite tenders to provide security at a new development of social housing on the wrong side of the M50. The successful applicant will have a proven track record in providing services, including fencing, installing security lighting, setting fire to pallets, organising brick throwing, rounding up young scobies, reminding builders and contractors that you know where they live, and establishing where they drink at the weekends so that you can sit across from them at the bar and stare at them menacingly. The bidder will be remunerated by Dublin City Council with payments to a firm on a Criminal Assets Bureau watch list. Experience in providing security at major events, such as boxing tournaments in hotels, will be an advantage. Interested parties are invited to submit a CV, a copy of their criminal record, together with a photograph of the applicant alongside Conor McGregor doing that fist to the chin thing. Or skip the paperwork and be hired straight away just by threatening to burn the site to the ground and or to kick the bleeding shit out of us. Dublin City Council. We're not criminals, we're just criminally behind on providing social housing.
Corla, I commend this budget to the House.
Oh, thank
God.
Here.
Could the deputies waking up and leaving please do so quickly and quietly? Now allow Michael McGrath.
Count Corla, I would like to commend the Minister for being so lovely.
Yes.
I'd also like to wish the Taunish doll the best in the week ahead and to ask him where he got those beautiful trousers. We in Fianna Fáil would have done things very differently if we'd been in charge. But we have to stay quiet now until we fall into power accidentally while the Taoiseach continues to slump in the polls as he's found out for being just as boring and disinterested in taxpayers as the rest of us.
Fair play to you, little Mickey. I understood.
Deputy Cowan, is there any point in coming to you or are you just going to beat the Minister over the head with a confidence and supply-shaped Valentine's card?
In fact, I would like to condemn in the strongest possible terms the weaker parties. Because that's what you do when you're trying to hide the fact the Fianna Fáil is shifting Fine Gael in the corner of the Dáil Bar, enjoying a Bacardi and grope together. And since we can't be attacking Fine Gael, let me single out Shane Ross and his Independent Alliance,
this will be good.
Who are singing so much to voters with bus passes, they should be called the Daniel O'Donnell Alliance. Most important thing here is we keep burning fields in Offaly to keep the lights on and the multinationals in Dublin. And if we can't keep burning them, then we need grants, and we'll just burn bales of 100 euro notes instead.
Deputy, have you got any actual criticism of the budget at all?
No, I'm just running down the clock until everyone gets sick of looking at Fine Gael and lets us in.
Count Carla,
we in the Labour Party are...
My God, I didn't even know you were still here, Deputy Burke.
That's what I was thinking.
Good Lord.
I am
millions and billions.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hashtag me too.
Oh, God. Deputy Joan Collins.
I couldn't think of anything to say, so let me just say, yous don't give a f**k. Now, I withdraw that remark, even though I've already put it on the YouTube myself. Sorry, what remark? I wasn't paying attention. Sorry, not sorry.
Neither was I. The budget did nothing to fix the wreckage that I presided over for 5 years.
Right.
We didn't mean to break our promises. It was an accident.
Order.
Eamon Gilmore left him on a chair in Chapter 1, and Pat Rabbit came in and sat on them.
Order.
Sat them to bits, Count Carlo.
Order.
Deputy Doherty, Sinn Féin.
Once again, this government stands accused of doing nothing and hiding behind the cloak of Brexit. And no, we won't take our seats in Westminster to swing the Brexit votes because we have a mandate to abstain.
Exactly.
We also have a mandate for 40 years to oppose everything the EU does and every European referendum ever.
What?
But thankfully, none of yous have noticed that because we'd look really stupid if yous did. I'll stop speaking now.
Shut up, Pierce.
Deputy Healy Ray, the one who walks on his hind legs, please.
How in God's holy name are fellas meant to drive home from the pub with the weight of a ton of carbon in their Toyota Corollas, and this budgie does nothing to tackle the road or the fairies?
I'll stop you there, Deputy, as I've seen Miriam Lord leaving the press gallery. She obviously has enough colour for her column now. I suggest we join her. And now I call on the Sinn Féin Party to turn off the lights.
Right.
You usually know where the switches are.
It's an absolute disgrace, Count Carlo.
Callan's Cakes!
All week we've been hosting the draws for next year's footballing championships, and today it's the turn of Connacht. Darren Frail is here. I'll be in the toilets if anyone needs me.
Thanks, Gavin. Yes, a lot of excitement. I'm joined on air today by Myrto Gertig.
Hello.
And Feisteach McFerty Óg from the Connacht Board.
Yeah.
And Kevin McStay, former Roscommon boss and philosopher.
Well, not a good description there, that's all I'll say, Darren. That's my view.
Now the draw is quite simple. There are three bowls, bowl A, bowl B and intermediate preliminary bowl G. We'll draw two teams from the first, five from the second and between three and eight from the third, depending on whether Mercury is in retrograde. Everyone clear?
What?
Ha?
Not a breeze.
Mert, can you draw the first team?
Sligach.
That's Sligo. Feisteach. Their opponents, and if it's Mayo...
Mayo.
Yeah, if it's Mayo...
Mayo.
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 If it's Mayo, the bowl will have to be renamed the Begging Bowl.
Roscommon.
Roscommon.
Yep.
Now, the winner of Galway, New York, will play in the second semi-final against one of those opponents, provided Roscommon beat London under a gibbous moon.
Right.
Then the winner of the next game enters intermediate preliminary bowl G,
what?
Where they will meet either Mayo, the ghost of Eamon de Valera, or the winner of the other qualifying semi-final, which Feisteach will now draw...
Leitrim.
Leitrim, and that completes the draw and sets up a tantalising encounter in the second round once removed. Kevin McStay, who's going to win Connacht next year?
Well, for me, Darren, it's October. Also, no one cares, not even people from Connacht.
Well, just give us a random guess.
Well, anything could happen. Ebola, Black Death, Solar Flare, Armageddon, London might beat Roscommon. Okay, that last one won't happen, but that's my view.
Certainly a lot to look forward to. Tomorrow morning, the draw for Ulster, when we'll be joined on air by some unnecessarily aggressive members of the Ulster Council. They're like a Catholic DUP.
Oh.
And of course, all eyes will be on Donegal to see if they can float to the top of Bowl D, or will they be flushed out into a preliminary round in April against one of the Rathlin Islands Junior B team or a figure from Irish mythology? Back to you, Gavin.
It's Dr. Gavin. Thanks, Darren. I know less than I did 2 minutes ago. Good morning and hello again. I'm joined as usual on the morning after the budget by Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue.
It seems like only last week I was here using a lack of money as an excuse for everything I failed to do.
So this time I take it you're using Brexit as an excuse for everything you failed to do?
Yes indeedy doody Rudy.
Now, a €6 increase per tonne of carbon, that's a strange measurement.
Yes.
What does a tonne of carbon actually look like?
It's very hard to visualise, which makes it difficult to be angry at me about. Even though I raised lots of taxes and wasted loads of money, no one's angry because they don't realise it's happening.
Right. First caller is Brendan, calling from a building site in Wexford.
I'd like to know, what has this budget done for me? Uh-huh. I'll tell you what, zero, nada. I've a pain in my hole with the whole lot of you.
Thank
Thank you for your question, Brendan. Are you building anything nice?
Well, I was building that children's hospital there last week. It's a blatant disgrace, that is. Oh. It's millions over budget. And what about the cost of Broadbent?
Yes.
Broadbent.
But just to correct you, Brendan, the children's hospital is not billions over budget. It's 470,000 bushels over budget.
Yeah, another strange measurement to stop us being angry there. But Minister, Broadbent and the children's hospital are 2 billion euro over.
No, technically Broadbent will cost just 910 gullions per fluid ounce.
But you could have just kept the cost down through prudent management, Minister.
Well, this is what happens when your Minister for Health is someone who makes a fetus look mature.
Now, Breeder's on the line. Go ahead, Breeder.
I'm a mother of 7 and a full-time carer. Okay. I'm at the end of my tether. What is there for me in this budget?
Yes, but by keeping the carer's allowance so low it's invisible to the naked eye, I've incentivised you to get a proper job.
A waste of time.
Our next caller is the youngest we've had in this particular post-budget programme.
Thank God.
Rourke is a fifth-year secondary school student.
Yeah. I'd like to ask Minister why he didn't use the budget as an opportunity to address single-use plastics.
Well, we care about the environment, which is why the carbon tax is ring-fenced. That means most of the tax will be used to pay for the ring fence, which we tendered out for to build, but is now running 75% over budget.
Diddums. What the actual...
But thank you very much for calling in and allowing me to patronise you.
And if I can just echo the Minister's patronising there, well done. Now get back to class. Also, the clock is against us, so very quickly, please, Seamus.
I've lost my medical card.
Maureen.
Like, where's my back money and the state pension?
Grace.
I can't get my teeth cleaned for free.
Gary.
We need more bicycle parking hoops.
And Tom.
We do in our hoop.
But sadly, we've run out of time.
Overruns will happen, Sean. You only have a certain amount of minutes.
Well, who knows if we'll see you for another budget, Pascal.
Who knows if we'll see you for another budget.
Would you just feck off?
Melania, it's so good to have dinner, just the two of us. It's been so long.
Not long enough.
Good old KFC, it's just like me, delicious and reliable.
Lots of fried excess skin.
If you don't want it, I'll eat it.
Mr. President, sir, a second whistleblower has just come forward.
Where do they keep getting whistles to blow? I banned them from the White House along with scientists and people who aren't white.
You're orange.
Orange is the best shade of white, honey.
This mysterious whistleblower, whoever she is a hero.
Quiet, honey, the men are talking. Tell Giuliani to deny there's a phone in the Oval Office.
Okay.
In fact, deny there's an Oval Office.
Right away, Mr. President.
Good. Now, where were we, mellow wife yet?
Ugh.
How's the son I had with you? What's he called? Dan Jr.? No? Eric?
Barron.
I'm not barren, honey. Lies. I've had lots of children with lots of different wife women. They're all attracted to my great physique and razor-sharp razor-sharp mind bits.
Mr. President, sorry to interrupt. James Comey's book has been made into a TV series.
Who's playing me?
Brendan Gleeson, sir.
I don't believe it. The big ginger Irish guy?
Yes.
Wasn't Liam Neeson available? He was a better match. We're both tall, handsome.
Both fantasize about beating up minorities.
Quiet, honey. Why don't you just go back to crying silently? What's that Liam Neeson movie where he beat up all the bad guys in Europe?
Take it.
Schindler's List. Great movie. A bit biased, though. There were a lot of fine people on both sides.
Ugh.
Both sides. Trust me.
Also, you're getting a lot of negative press about withdrawing troops from Syria. They're saying you're selling out the Kurds.
The Kurds?
Mm-hmm.
What have they ever done for us?
Defeat ISIS?
I defeated ISIS, honey. I tweeted them to death.
Much like our marriage.
The Kurds didn't help us in Normandy. A lot of people surprised I know about the war when we fought the French in Omaha.
Ugh.
But why do they invade Nebraska anyway?
Sorry, sir. We've just heard the Democrats are issuing subpoenas.
Okay, stop interrupting me. This is my special time,
sir,
with my KFC,
right,
and the most recent woman I married.
Please. Keep interrupting us. I can leave.
No, the prenup says you have to spend 50 minutes a week with me.
Ugh.
I just wish I could find out who this whistleblower is.
It could be anybody. Maybe a smart, moody, ex-Slovenian model bored with her marriage and trying to find escape route out of it. Who knows?
Well, I've always got you by my side, my little melanoma.
Only until my lawyers can find a loophole in the prenup.
Delicious.
Disgusting.
This budget week was made all the more difficult to report on, given the weekly increase in left-wing parties. I went out to meet our socialists and first spoke to People Before Progress TD Breed Coppinger, who was arguing with a vending machine at the time.
Come on! You swallowed me, bleeding euro, you dishonest product of our neo-capitalist fat wad big cat bourgeoisie! Give us me bleeding Mars bar!
She only succeeded in confusing me with her overview of the left.
Well, it's quite simple, really. You've got Labour, then your Socialist and Communist parties. You've got People Before Progress Party. You've got Progress Before People Unless the Progress Benefits of Struggling Working Classes Party, also known as the PPBUPBSWC. You with me so far?
No.
Good.
Next, I visited Paul Murphy, who just announced his new group Rise. I asked him if the Irish left should focus on uniting instead of fracturing more often than an 80-year-old's hip.
When it dawned on me that I was part of a Marxist-Trotskyist party that was moderately in favour of state-subsidised veganism instead of being Marxist-Trotskyist that was strongly in favour of state-subsidised veganism, I don't think I had a choice but to form my own group.
Yeah, do you really need to use that megaphone, Paul? It's just that we have...
I'd also like you to know that I'm formally announcing my departure from Rise.
Later, Richard Boyd Barrett dropped in to confuse things even more.
While I respect all my comrades, I represent true Irish socialism,
which is
a commitment to redistribute wealth to the workers, a long history of opposition to colonialist wars, and most importantly, a nice accent that doesn't scare RTÉ listeners away.
Feeling even more bewildered despite his reassuring accent, I bumped into Sinn Féin leader and sigh of disapproval taking human form, Mary Lou MacDonald.
Sinn Féin are the true socialists, Micheál.
Really?
What could possibly be more socialist than first class flights to America, fundraising dinners with Donald Trump and mansions in Cabra?
Drowning in parties, factions and nearly identical ideologies, I met Eamon Ryan of the Greens, who is so keen on recycling, he's willing to offer the Greens to be reused by a bigger party and coalition and dumped in the landfill of shame a second time. But he's a man in bicycle clips, so there can be nothing scary about him, surely.
Yeah, you know, our policies are very cuddly.
Right.
Like social justice, protecting democracy, and of course, reintroducing the wild wolf back into Ireland.
The what?
The wolf.
Roar, roar. What the actual fuck? And there we left it. Micheál Lehane, none the wiser. Oh, RTÉ.
The Ray D'Arcy Show. Still a thing, despite all his efforts.
Welcome back. You know, they're calling her Wagatha Christie. That's very good. Or how about Colleen Umbo? Colleen Umbo. Do you get it? No? No? I don't know. Anyway, welcome back. I'm still here, despite what you might have read. They're going to have to claw this one from my cold, dead hands.
Oh.
Joining me today to talk about the heap of Michelin stars awarded to Irish restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why that's apparently something to celebrate is Nevin Maguire. Yay!
Hello, Ray. You're looking shocking thin, so you are.
Michelin stars, Nevin. Are they really a big deal?
Oh, yeah. 6 Irish restaurants have received the stars. I've been this excited since Linda Martin came to my restaurant and signed my wee chef's hat. Have you tried any yourself? Have you any of the restaurants?
No. I wouldn't be much of a Michelin man, to be honest.
No.
Unlike most of the Irish people who eat far too much food at posh restaurants.
What?
But does it mean anything, though? What's to say that they won't take the star off them just because of a bad haircut and a few terrible guests?
Sorry, I don't...
All you do is lose half your audience and bang! They replace you with a woman. Any one of 5.
I'm lost here, Ray. Sorry.
I don't know. Are some of the chefs just cheating? Because, you know, some of these Michelin star places, they just get the food, they cover it in butter or cream or cheese or chocolate just to make it taste nice.
Yeah, well, that's how food works, Ray.
Yeah, but sure, they could just make anything taste nice. They could roll Dahi O'Shea in butter and that would make them palatable.
Are you sure you're all right there now, Ray? Now?
But I suppose it's no wonder people are going out wasting their money on food with the cost of living.
Oh, well.
These days it costs less for a 5-course Michelin-starred meal than it does for the rent, sharing a single bed in Ringsend.
Well, I mean, that would be a fairly pessimistic way now of looking
at it. So what are the stars worth anyway? You can be a star for 25 years, but all it takes is 300 episodes of a disastrous chat show and they're talking about shutting you down.
Jeez, now you're making me feel bad.
Could happen to your restaurant too, Nevin.
Ah, no, it couldn't. Could it?
It could.
Do you think so?
And there'd be no more cookery programmes either.
No?
You mark my words.
What?
Nobody wants to watch a rerun of a second year home economics class.
Yeah. What is the point of any of it, I suppose? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing really means anything anymore.
Oh, God. I know.
I'm upset now.
You're feeling bad. You're feeling miserable, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah.
Feel much better now. Thanks for that, Nevin.
What?
Yeah. Keep it going. Yeah. I love a bit of misery. Makes me feel as happy as running barefoot in hailstones. Join us tomorrow when we'll be discussing why tidy towns will ultimately lead to gang warfare. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show. Won't be long now.
Murphs. Ugh. There you are.
Oh, no.
So dark in here, I can barely see you.
Tish, delighted to see you.
I had 25 of my people scour the city for you.
Oh.
I could see you were online on WhatsApp. What were you?
Oh, nothing. I just come here for the usual craft beers, like this cheeky little number from Cork.
OMG, you've heard of Cork?
Yes.
Wait, Murphy's Irish Stout? I don't think that's particularly crafty.
Oh, I just love the taste.
Really? Murphs, are you hiding in this basement dive bar because it's so dark no one will recognize you?
Or find me. Look, I get way less people spitting in my beer and, you know, my face.
I hear ya. Been keeping a low prof myself.
Apart from being all over the news all day yesterday promoting your air quotes secret talks with Boris Johnson.
I meant low prof on domestic matters.
Oh.
My self-satisfaction rating is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
So I'm pulling a complete ender.
Sorry, who?
Remember, your man.
Oh.
Michael Noonan wouldn't let him near the economy, so he just became more presidential.
Yeah.
Got photographed next to weird things like bins.
And Boris Johnson is now your bin.
Precisely. I'm owning Brexit. Yeah. Boris makes me look great. I look so ripped standing next to him, like an athlete just out of the Nike Oregon Project.
Yikes.
While he looks like a mattress half wrapped in a rental suit.
Ugh, don't mention the renters. Still, totes ironic you being Ireland's most Tory ever Taoiseach, hating on the actual Tories.
I know. The British tabloids are painting me as some kind of Republican mastermind, even though I've literally done nothing.
Especially since the only glimpse of the North you've ever seen is from the back of your BMW 7 Series.
The most northerly thing I care about is Castleknock, TBH.
Yeah, Coveney's getting a lot of attention around Brexit, though, isn't he? I mean, I'm taking him. I mean, people are taking him quite seriously.
Don't make me laugh, Murphs.
What?
That dried up old dish rag on a twig, eh?
Well, he does make some good points.
What?
But lots of tweets as well, you know.
That polyester blend suit on a beige coat hanger.
Well.
No one would ever think he could put...
Aha.
Who's that text from?
It's from no one, dude.
Can I just...
Give me back my phone!
Oh my God, Murphs, you traitor!
My private phone, man.
The pints of Murphy's, the fact that you've suddenly heard of Cork, Murphs.
What?
You're seeing Coveney behind my back.
No. I was just going to watch the rugby with him. Just once, dude. Chill.
The big match? You know how obsessed I am with rugby.
I'm not even sure you know who's playing.
Ireland versus Ebola? I thought we were going to watch it together.
It's Ireland versus Samoa, dude. Coveney actually likes it.
What?
Anyway, I'll totally get you the next time, I swear.
Where are you going?
Out.
What? It's not on yet. What time is it in China anyway?
It's in Japan, dude. Look, I have to go.
Hey!
I can't be late for Simon.
Murphs, come back. Don't go. I can't let you go without my traditional high five to the face. Abandoned by Murphs. This is worse than being humiliated by Kylie and LCD Sound System and Donald Trump and the farming protesters. Turf munchers. Or as I'll be calling them this season, the heifer humpers. That's a good one, isn't it, Murphs? Oh yeah, he's gone.
Alan's Cake!